Finally, the music meets the man.
Yes. Right,
Congressman Adam Kinzinger is joining us. And earlier today, it's really been at the top of the news here for the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I know. And generally, we have you on when you're not at the top of the news. Now you are at the top of the news. And this is it's a big story. A couple of weeks ago, you were deployed as part of your regular service to the Wisconsin Air National Guard. You were sent down to the border. This is not your first deployment down to the Mexican border as a member of the Air Guard. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But then you came back and you refined your position on the building of a border wall and specifically the president's emergency order to fund that wall. So much so that you got on Meet the Press, right? Or no, on Face the Nation over the weekend. I get all those things confused. And I just wonder, is this a change in what you thought before? Describe the whole process you went through here.
Yeah, it's pretty nuanced because it's a nuanced issue. So I went down neutral on the emergency order. You know, the reality, I've always been for the wall. I just don't think you should shut down government to get there because it never works. Government shutdowns don't lead to anything. So I went down there, and you know what I saw in Arizona? I've worked three prior deployments to Texas. Those were under President Obama, which I think is important to know. But, you know, what I saw, and I mean, I have proof on my phone that I wish I could share, but Customs and Border Patrol could release these videos because they have them all. I mean, things from human trafficking, you know, coyotes that work for the drug cartels bringing people over and then abandoning them at the first sound of an airplane or if they think Customs and Border Patrol is on them, and you leave. I mean, people don't understand the rugged terrain out there. They leave these folks to die. Arizona finds a couple hundred dead folks out there, dead migrants every year. And then the number of drugs. I mean, one of my crews, their very first mission, they got 70 pounds of methamphetamine off somebody. A different state that flies the same plane got a huge amount of fentanyl, enough to destroy basically an entire city. And this is, we were just doing a small part of this operation, and this is daily. And I look at this and I say, you know, when drug cartels are convincing people to give them their life savings so that they can walk them into the United States only to then abandon them, that is not compassion. Compassion, I believe, is a secure border and an immigration system that is welcoming, but does it after we can control who comes in, too. And so I haven't changed my position on immigration at all. What I believe, though, is that it's in the president's authority and that, frankly, he's right to want to build this wall.
Right to want to build a wall, but do you think he's right on the national emergency?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, look, if you nuance, if you look at the reality of Congress creating this national emergency, look at all the national emergencies that exist, I think he's within his rights to declare it. Ultimately, it will be the courts that decide that because, you know, as I read it, not being a lawyer, that's going to be argued in the courts. But I think he's within his right to declare it. I wish we'd have done it in Congress. I voted to do it in Congress. But, you know, given it what it is and what I saw, and I said, look, okay, at this point, we have a decision to make. I feel comfortable with the decision I've made. And we just passed the bill to reject it today in the House, despite my vote.
Right. I just saw that. And then so it's headed to the Senate. Where does it have their support there? You have seen a few Republican defectors say, you know, I may be on board with all of this, but I do think that the president has the authority to declare a national emergency. But should he do it, and should he do it over this? There seem to be even a few people, members of your party, who are grappling with that question.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, everybody that makes points on this is to an extent right, and I can see where they're coming from, you know, and I'm not sure what it's going to end up doing in the Senate, whether it passes or not. It probably will. But, you know, if people have all these great points. I don't come here, you know, absolutely, utterly convinced that this is the best way to do it, but what I say is I saw what I saw, and then coming here and deciding whether to terminate this national emergency, I'd vote no. I think Congress has given too much power to the presidency, but they have given the president the power of national emergency.
Well, but isn't that the issue? I mean, you know, you're a congressman. Don't you want to protect the primacy of the Congress as the keepers of the purse?
Yeah, you do. And the president would violate the law if he created new appropriations. The question is, can he move money from different accounts into this? And if you look at the accounts, counter-drug and MILCON, I don't think it's military construction. I don't think military construction ends up getting used, to be honest with you. But That is all existing appropriations that under this he is moving to, you know, this construction of a barrier or the counter drug being the nexus to counter drug. Now, if the president said, I'm just doing $5 billion extra dollars that Congress hasn't appropriated, that would be a clear violation of the law.
Yeah. It is interesting. You're seeing a slide in the middle toward the wall or a barrier of some sort.
Yeah,
it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, ocean to ocean, as they like to say, or sea to sea. But it is a in terms of like what you do. I mean, this is it's interesting that you're at the very fulcrum of this debate right now, because what your mission was, Congressman, when you were in the Air Guard over the last couple of weeks, was doing electronic reconnaissance where there would not be a wall. And there still may be areas where there will not be a wall. And that job is very important. That needs to be funded as well.
And I'll tell you, the areas that Arizona has a wall, I didn't have to work those areas. What generally, to very put this briefly, we'd have a radar plane fly over to pick up some of these groups, and then we would respond to whatever the Border Patrol prioritized. And it's not like then they just drive their truck to this group. They have to walk 3 miles through very rugged terrain, and by the time they get to this group, they're gassed, they're tired. This group does what we call a bomb burst, where they run in every different direction, and they can only usually get one or two. The problem with that, the first to run and abandon the group are the coyotes that run back to Mexico. They get away, and then a lot of these people run out of adrenaline, and then all of a sudden realize when we can't find them, they are lost, and the nearest civilization is 50 miles away in some cases. And that's why you end up with all the bodies that end up out there.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't doubt that this is a problem. Is this a national emergency? And to me, a national emergency is something that is exigent, where the circumstances changed. And I personally disagree with you on the issue of the presidency being able to, the president or, you know, the office of the president being able to declare a national emergency on something that is not exigent, that did not change. This has not statically changed. The issue is, what do we do about it? And one of your colleagues, who I know you know, Dan Crenshaw, who is also a former active duty military, right? He came to prominence during the Saturday Night Live in the fall, mm-hmm. when, because he had an eye patch, and they made fun of him for wearing an eye patch, and he'd lost it in an IED attack when he was a Navy SEAL, right? So this guy's a true American hero. He was on the circus this week. We just talked to Mark McKinnon about this. He was on the circus that was on Sunday night, and he was talking about the need for the wall because the wall works. And he made a very compelling, I think as you're doing about the wall, a compelling and logical argument for why we need more physical barrier than we already have, right? And that's where the conversation should be.
Amen.
The question is, the president makes it an all or nothing issue, no matter what it is. When he's having breakfast, he makes it an all or nothing issue.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And because we're caught in that, it's almost impossible to get around the rhetorical wall that he builds around all of these issues. So how do you guys and you and Crenshaw and the rest of the Republicans who would like to express the nuance, be allowed the room to express the nuance?
Look, I'll give you an example. I don't think it's a national emergency because there's immigrants coming over. I think it's because of the drugs and the human trafficking. You know, I said at the beginning of my floor speech I gave tonight on this, I said, look, nobody's evil in this debate. The Democrats, I disagree with some of the things they're saying, but I think they mean well. We mean well. Everybody kind of has the same intention, but we are, as we do so many times, we're talking past each other and making an emotional argument. The reality is, if we sat logically and said to the American people, we want a barrier, we want technology, and we also want to deal with the 15 million that are here, give them a pathway to make them legal, deal with the DACA population, and fix, you know, the high-skilled visa situation, 80% of Americans would agree. But we can't. We just keep talking past each other. And it's funny. I come out and say I'm supportive of a wall, and now all of a sudden I'm the biggest enemy to the Democrats that ever existed. But then I come out and say, but I also, we have to deal with a pathway to legalization, and I'm the biggest enemy to some others on the right. And it's, you know, the truth is somewhere in the middle, and we've got to get there.
Right. And all those things can happen.
Well said, Congressman. I think it's amazing how many people, because that I know, and they know that I know you, and they were texting me this morning, and what's going on? And I think it's really important for you to get an opportunity to, you know, to tell your side of the story here, because it is, listen, this is an awful situation for those who are trying to get, those who are trying to get away from what they're trying to get away from, and they're coming up here, especially for the parents with their kids. It's tough. Your heart breaks for them. You imagine in your own life, would you ever have to, imagine having to leave here, where would you go? And let's say you were trying to get into Canada, how would you do it? And would you, if you were so desperate, you had to run away. Now, and how would you fund yourself in doing that? And if bad guys got a hold of you, you could just sort of imagine, there was a movie from 40 years ago called El Norte about Central Americans coming through Mexico to go to try to sneak into the country. People should see that movie because it hasn't changed in 40 years.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking. So how do we deal with that? How do we help stay? That was the whole idea of stabilizing these countries in Central America in the first place.
Yeah,
or trying
absolutely.
To stabilize their economies. And now you got Venezuela, and God knows what's going to happen there. And so you got it's a tough situation. But cooler heads must prevail, and a smart solution that, as you said, Congressman, is done with compassion going to be the answer.
That's right.
Well, so this is a way of getting back to all my friends simultaneously and saying, I'm not crazy. He's not crazy.
No one's crazy. Can you respond?
We can all just talk to each other and find out we agree on a lot more than I think we don't.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you, Congressman. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Congressman.
Anytime.
All right. Bye.
See ya.